breaking down the biggest stories, talking about what really matters, and bringing you the biggest forum to let your voice be heard. Now, broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue, here's Steve Scafidi.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday show. My last day of work for a couple days. I'll be off Wednesday and Thursday. Jeff Wagner will be not really filling in. He'll just be doing his show early because we have an early Brewers game on Wednesday. And then Tracy Johnson, you've heard her voice many times here on 620 WTMJ, will fill in Thursday. And then I'll be back Friday with all the regular Friday things. So I come into the studio after the morning zoo with Eric and Vince. And I touched the microphone, the main radio host mic, and the thing just breaks. The plastic connection point to the microphone, to the stand, just breaks, collapses. And I got like 3 minutes before the show begins. So that was my excitement of the morning. So I'm sitting here at the, I don't even know what station this would be. This is the one that most people never sit at. It's like the quietest of the of all these studio locations. So we'll make do. I've got a sort of a makeshift monitor situation going on, so I will do my best to make that as unnoticeable, if that's a word, as possible. I do have a straight-on shot with producer Brandon, though, so that's good. I can actually see what he's up to. You can't hide, because from the side view, you can hide. Can't do that now. Happy 620 Day. June 20th. 620 WTMJ. Now, I was listening to the morning show, again, the morning zoo with Eric and Vince. Tell me if you noticed this. They go on their show, 621 on 620 WTMJ on 620 Day. You couldn't hit the mark at 620 to make it work?
That would have been pretty cool.
621. That's not a thing.
They're going to blame me because I do the sports hit right before it. Yeah, so they're probably like, oh, you were a minute behind.
Yeah, little too long.
620, I can hear the festivities upstairs already.
Yeah.
It's a party up there at 9 o'clock this morning.
One thing I know about our office staff, they never, ever, ever miss the opportunity for a party.
Sure do not.
Especially the 620 Day party. Do you know what the fair is? Is there their food?
Adam advised me it's a breakfast buffet.
Breakfast buffet.
Right as we get on, they start serving.
Yeah.
You find that interesting, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Put my tinfoil hat on and wonder why that
is. Here's what will happen. When I'm done with my show at 12, there won't be much left.
Oh, God, no.
There'll be like a half a bagel that somebody ripped in half, which I'm not going to eat because they touched it. There may be some dried eggs.
With no utensils left.
So happy 620 Day to all of you. I have to start the show, and I don't necessarily want to start the show on a sad note, but there was a significant thing that happened in Milwaukee yesterday. And, despite all the positives from Juneteenth Day, I know that our teammates at The Truth, 101.7, were part of that. They were out there all day. And some of the audio that I heard on some of the stations, our network of stations, was actually recorded by some of our staff out there, our teammates. We had this incredible celebration. To simplify it, the day that slavery ended the United States, our collective national pain because of some incredible leadership, wisdom, and some Americans deciding that another human being shouldn't be treated as a 3/5 human being or subhuman. And many of those things persist to this day. So this was a celebration, Juneteenth was, with a long parade. I was watching it as I was doing the show yesterday. And there was a festival afterwards. Again, everybody in a great mood. And that as often happens, not just in Milwaukee, but we're going to focus on Milwaukee because that's where we are. I'm in downtown Milwaukee right now. Shooting breaks out. First fights, apparently among some young women. And then, of course, shooting. And I was thinking about this all last night. For some reason, it was on my mind. And, as somebody who celebrates the city, we're about to kick off our Summerfest run here with 3 consecutive weekends. I'll be going to Summerfest on Thursday, opening day. As somebody who celebrates all of that, it is a reminder that, boy, we have some serious work to do. So shots ring out. Injured females, 14, 16, 17, 18, males aged 17 and 19, right after the festival ended, about 4:20 in the afternoon. MLK and Chambers is the location. And I've been asking my teammates, I've been asking my friends, family, looking on social media about what should I think about this? And this is really where I need your help. 855-616-1620, the old National Bank talking text line. A incredible celebration marred by violence. And we've seen this story before. We've seen it with sports events. Incredible. Positive events for the community. Milwaukee is a city that's celebrated Juneteenth for a long time. And one of my teammates from The Truth said, we did it last year. We didn't have any incidents. What does it say about Milwaukee? Well, I think it says a couple things. Too many young people, and I mean really young, have decided that the way they're going to go about their business is to not bother with school, to use a firearm as their best form of defense, often having no understanding of how guns work or the lethal nature of that ownership, disregarding common rules of behavior, discipline. And their first reaction on a day that should be joyous and a celebration of the end of slavery, 52 years of Juneteenth Day celebrations, ends with thankfully no one killed, but many people injured. And it could have been worse, much worse. 855-616-1620. There's only so much that law enforcement can do here. There's only so much that I can do on a radio show. Although you'll hear today radio hosts of all persuasions indict the city one more time. Now, I invited the mayor of the city of Milwaukee on the show, and I haven't heard back yet. He's welcome to come on. And this is not an indictment of Juneteenth. This is not an indictment of the people that behaved in their celebrations, controlled their behavior. This is a condemnation of the idiots who chose to make this post-Juneteenth celebration a thing of violence. And someone could have lost their lives. 855-616-1620, the old National Bank talking text line. What was a joyous day was marred by violence, a story we've heard far too many times in the city of Milwaukee. How do we stop it? What do we do? What's our reaction to it? We'll discuss after this in WTMJ. I was going to say happy Tuesday, but I guess it's a happy Tuesday. I mean, whenever you see situations like we saw unfold in Milwaukee, yes, it's just disappointing. From a resident situation, just somebody who talks for a living, that here we are again talking about something like this, and it's disappointing from that aspect. And I've heard the pleas. I was going to play all this stuff, but I'm thinking, why should I play this? I've heard it over and over again. Call for help. At its core, this is a parenting problem. At its core, it's a problem with lack of discipline. At its core, it's a problem where people who shouldn't have guns get their hands on them. Until those things are remedied or at least moving in the right direction, we're going to continue to have stories like this play out every day in big cities across this country. It's why I get so frustrated with the lack of discipline in schools. These are fixable things. These are things we should be doing. Stop trying to be so lenient, so accommodating, that you let the bad actors run the schools, or in the case of Milwaukee, run the streets. Mike joins us on the program. Hey, Mike.
Morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm disappointed. How are you?
Yeah, well, obviously, Milwaukee wasn't the only city that it happened in. Chicago, St. Louis were probably the two closest to us that it happened in. The word you use, discipline and control, I think there's obviously a lack of discipline and a lack of being held responsible for your actions growing up in school and in the legal system when they get a little older. And I think a lot of these kids are not taught self-control. They're just saying, they're allowed to just do whatever they want, and then someone's going to make an excuse for their behavior. That's my take because I was taught those two things growing up.
Yeah.
In my school, in my house, taught actions have consequences. I don't think that's happening in school or, you know, on the street.
I don't think so. There's this, I guess this, thanks for the call, Mike. There's this lack of appreciation for rules and I guess a desire to, like, overcompensate for the real issues that we're facing in this country. Racism, economic injustices, inequalities, treatment that differs between groups of people. Those are real things. But there's two ways you can react to those things. One is to find a solution, and two is to complain or act the fool. And too many young people are choosing the act the fool. There's nothing to fight about yesterday other than to just fight. And I've seen this play out in grocery stores. I've seen it play out at festivals. What are you doing? And, of course, when the police get involved, and I did some research on this. So typically, the way it's worked on the Juneteenth parade festival is that there's a more forward-facing police presence. For a variety of reasons, they're more in the background now. I would argue that's a bad call. I would argue that's something we should change. From Stephen Cudahy, many judges have said that we can't hold juveniles because of the lack of space. If we're short of space already, then why are we building a new, very expensive juvenile facility that is way too small? It's a fair question. You're not going to institutionalize your way out of this mess. There's so much more going on here. But in the short term, it makes you safer. I've said this before. Extra security in the short term makes you safer. More police in the short term makes you safer. Steve goes on to say, there's no early discipline at home. How can you expect the schools to apply discipline? My wife's a teacher and her hands are tied by the district rules. You hit on it. The district rules. That's a problem. I have talked to school board members around this state. You know what they tell me? The district says we can't do that. We can't have hall enforcers. We can't have detention. We can't have strict discipline for students that are acting out, especially those who are violent. We have to include them. We have to figure out solutions that keep them in school. Sometimes kids shouldn't be in school. That's a hard reality for school districts to face, but that is the reality. And the quicker we figure that out and make it a real safe space, not the other kind, where you don't have to go to school as a teacher or a student or a member of the staff, where you're afraid for your life, your lives are threatened, you have students dropping F-bombs around you. That's not a school environment that anybody wants to be a part of. 414, this is an interesting point as well. How many girls are doing this activity now, including stealing cars? Yeah, the girls have caught up. Apparently, much of this disturbance yesterday was caused by fighting girls / young women. I'll give you the same thing I say to boys. Grow the hell up. What are you fighting about? I'm going to use words that maybe you don't have enough of, or maybe you don't hear enough of. Behavior. Discipline. The word no. You're not going to do this. You're not going to run wild on the streets of Milwaukee. We will take you. Not home, but to do a detention center overnight. I don't know why this hasn't happened already. You're essentially catching and releasing these kids. And they're not going back home. Or if you drop them off at home, they're just going out again. Joyriding, getting in trouble, shooting guns. And yesterday was a sad example of that. And for me, it's disappointing, as I said before. Because that's not what we should have seen yesterday. It should have been a celebration of a significant moment in our country's history. Oh, and oh, by the way, I saw a few tweets and posts yesterday. Why are we celebrating this? Because a significant percentage of our population was treated like subhumans. And because a minority of leaders decided that needed to end, slavery was abolished. Not the treatments, because that continues to this day in some places. But the law that said you could treat someone like that was done away with. And yesterday was a celebration of that. Up until somebody decided to have a shootout on the streets of Milwaukee. Should not happen, especially on Juneteenth. After the break, I'm going to roll up my show flow for today. I was intrigued by this. I've been following a lot of this Joe Rogan podcast nonsense where all of a sudden all vaccines are in question and we should steer clear of real science that has saved thousands, probably millions of lives because Joe Rogan says it in a podcast. And just so you're clear on Joe Rogan, he's changed his mind numerous times on a lot of different things. And he's not a scientist. So I created a question that I think will spur us to some interesting conversation. And I wanted to see, and I haven't done this one in a while, I wanted to see where we were post-pandemic. And I think we're post-pandemic, although there's still health concerns out there. Who do you trust most for accurate information related to public health concerns? And I gave you a few choices. The internet. I already have 200 votes. I just started the thing. So I know there's interest in it. 8%. The medical health community, 80%. And just for the heck of it, because I've been listening to not a lot of electeds, senators, a few congresspeople, our own Senator Ron Johnson, who are passing themselves off as experts on vaccines and health risks. You want to know, this has never happened in the history of the show poll, which has been I've done for years. You know what the percentage is for the third answer, the third choice in my show poll? Congress or elected officials? Their total so far, 0%. Never happened with a show poll. If that's not a cold, hard slap in the face to anybody who gets on a TV show or at a hearing or an event and starts proclaiming their knowledge, science, or health and public safety, I don't know what else I can tell you. Internet, 8%. Medical health community, 80%. Congress, elected officials, 0. Damn right. Welcome back on this Tuesday. At show note, I'll be gone Wednesday and Thursday. Jeff will be in my spot tomorrow. Tracy Johnson, not in this chair, but the one to my right, because Vetrano broke the microphone this morning. The microphone stand. Does he move the microphone a lot when he's doing a show? What's going on in there? You're sitting in here with him.
He doesn't really move it around a lot, no.
No? It is plastic, so maybe that's the...
And the microphone's like abnormally heavy, so...
It is. It's heavier than you think the stand could tolerate.
I agree.
And the one I'm surprised didn't break first, I think this is the first official breaking of a microphone, is the news one, because that thing gets manhandled.
Yeah, that one gets moved a lot. Eric's moving a lot in the morning.
And they all have different positions, and they're slapping it left to right to look at different screens. It's craziness. But that's not your concern. We're broadcasting live from the Avenue Studios. That's all you need to know. And I just shift over one chair to probably the least used of the microphones in the studio, which presents some technical challenges, but you will not be aware of that if I'm doing my job. So I teased it, and I'm curious. My show poll today had to do with where you get your information. What's your source when it comes to medical things, science, public safety, public health? And I made it my show poll. And it's on Twitter, as I said, 620 WTMJ or at WTMJ Steve. And if you're not on the Twits, which is, as I've often said, a good life choice, you can certainly text your answer into the Old National Bank Talking Text Line, 855-616-1620. So who do you trust for the most accurate information related to public health concerns? The internet's right now at 9%. The medical health community, 79%. And I love this. This is wisdom of the crowd, wisdom of the masses. Congress and electeds, 0%. Let me say it again, 0%. A few choice comments on the old twits. Will says, my brain is telling me doctors, but the Wi-Fi radiation is telling me the internets. Francis said, just think of all the people made sick from misinformation and lies from sources like Fox News, Ron Johnson, Rush Limbaugh, MTG, and so many others. Richard said, this is sad that it even has to be asked. Heidi says, as a nurse, I trust the expertise of the phenomenal physicians and nurses I have worked with. Bravo, Heidi. Exactly. Tim says, my daughter, the doctor. Well done, Tim. Dean says, well, my doctor. Jedi Ghost says, evolutionary biology. All right. Gut Check says, I've taken a wide range of opinion reporting and trust my guts. Michael says, medical professionals, if not having their pockets stuffed by the pharmaceutical companies. Yeah, I mean, even medical professionals can be biased or influenced. But my point in bringing this up is because I've seen and heard, and this is a lot of this is related to this Joe Rogan story, where he is having an ongoing debate. He had Robert Kennedy, RFK Jr. on his show, who is generally considered to be a lefty nut job, probably one of the most anti-vax humans on this planet. And Rogan essentially is now thrown in with RFK on vaccines. And this is something I predicted when the COVID vaccine was rolled out. Once you have pushback on that specific vaccine, I said at the time, this is 2 years ago, don't be surprised if the war on vaccines, all vaccines, ramps up. And here we are. Which takes us to the senior senator in Wisconsin, who's made a living talking about the risks of vaccination, talking about the risks associated with almost all medical procedures, versus talking about the overwhelming positive impacts of science and vaccines. And I guess for the life of me, I don't know why that is. Because I've listened to Ron Johnson speak on a lot of things. He was a frequent guest on my program. He was out front on national debt and its impact on our country's economic future a decade or more ago. And as much as I disagree with him on some things and agree on other things, he was absolutely right on that, and he still is right on that. We cannot let this continue to spiral out of control if we want to have a functioning country in 10, 20, 30 years. But when I see the Joe Rogans and the Senator Johnsons of the world, somehow, for whatever reason, whether it's pacifying an angry, I don't know what it is. And we all know the nonsense sells, right? Whether it's radio or TV, saying the outlandish, the hot take is always generally going to be popular. Did you hear what so-and-so said? Did you hear what Joe Rogan said? Did you hear what Wisconsin senior senator said about vaccines? When so much real good could be done just by flipping the switch. Instead of focusing on the negative, because as we all know, anyone who pays attention, vaccines aren't perfect. The medical community, as great as they are, they're not perfect. There's risk to everything. If you have any kind of procedure, I had my eardrum pierced to drain fluid. Doctor said to me, you know, there's a risk. Lose your hearing, 1 or 2%. I said, go ahead, do it anyway. Because 98%, pretty safe bet. But yet we have a whole industry of podcasters, broadcasters, elected officials who have decided they know it all and have decided to focus on the negative versus the positive. 855-616-1620. That is the old National Bank talking text line. I gave the results. 9%. 80%, 0%. I'll fill in the blanks for you after this at WTMJ. I told you the numbers before the break there, and let me give you the choices before in front of the numbers. Who do you trust for accurate information related to public health concerns? The internet, 8.7, it's dropped from 9. The medical health community, 78.9%. hey, somebody voted for Congress or an elected official. There's one vote. We have 218 votes, and I'm retweeting it right now, so it'll freshen up in your timeline. It's not surprising, because I think most people understand. And I understand they make the law of the land. I understand they debate public policy. It's their job, really. But what's happened with elected officials, they've bastardized the process. They've decided that they are all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful, ignoring majorities or the will of their constituents and voters for weird, conspiracy-driven theories that they're more than happy to go on TV or podcast or radio and talk about. That's the new reality. So I was taking the temperature this morning. This does not surprise me. Now, I'm encouraged by the fact that 8 out of 10 of you say medical health community. That's the right answer. It's not the internet. It's not a podcaster. It's not me or anyone else that does what I do. It's the medical health community when it comes to public health. And it's certainly not an elected official. From the old National Bank talking text line. They know the dumbest of the population will believe them. You know the dumbest of the population of the popular will believe them. Steve, are you not one of them that you do that you are not a positive person? Unless it comes to Democrats, then you're very positive. Man, you miss a lot of my show if you say that. And then they go on to talk about the Hunter Biden story, who, by the way, was charged today, which is a good story because he deserves it. Somebody said that was probably Ron Johnson's vote. He's made a living talking about this stuff. Diane says anti-vax actually started way back with the lefties. He's one of those. The right-wingers have now stolen that and made it their mantra. So RFK hasn't really changed who they are, but love RFK for this. And let people who don't want vaccines pay the consequences. Only problem is that then these diseases will reemerge and we can suffer like third world countries. That's what I love about this. So, if you're vaccinated, why do you care? Because society's going to struggle. We're going to pay the bill on this. You understand that? Because a soccer mom all of a sudden hates vaccines because of something Joe Rogan said. Or a senator has said about the risk, very, very small risk of vaccines. All of a sudden, hundreds, thousands of moms and dads are not going to vaccinate their kids. From the 414. And I read all the texts, as many as I can, on both sides. No one trusts the government when it comes to mandating vaccines. We've trusted them for a long time. You just don't like this vaccine. Texter goes on to say there are also large medical organizations that push vaccines for the wrong reasons, especially when Big Pharma, Gates, and Fauci are involved. Steve, what do you mean by the internet on your poll? Have you listened to the Joe Rogan episode with Robert Kennedy? Yeah, I've listened to part of it. I'm not going to listen to all of it because, frankly, it's a waste of my time. But when I hear Joe Rogan say, you're starting to make a lot of sense to me, RFK Jr., it gives me pause. I've listened to enough Joe Rogan to understand he said a lot of crazy things. He's also flip-flopped numerous times. He's popular. I get it. Popular doesn't mean right. Oh, let's see. If Hunter Biden was one of Donald Trump's kids, you would have already spent weeks talking about him. And now he's pleading guilty to a crime, and you still have nothing to say about it. Yeah, I just said it. Charged, pled guilty. What do you want me to say? He deserves it.
Come on, man.
Let's see. The vaccine was supposed to stop the spread. They were wrong. The vaccine was saying you're not going to get COVID if you get the vaccine. Here's the thing about all this, and I'll finish reading it in a second. What we know now is not what we knew then. It isn't. It's not. It never is. What we knew about cancer 50 years ago is not what we know about cancer now. Does it make everyone who was working in the cancer field, doctors, researchers, wrong? No, of course not. Best evidence at the time. The risks to our country and our world are much greater without vaccines than with them. Well, the 920, this vaccine is killing people, and that's a fact. 414, goodness gracious, this vaccine was untested and forced upon. It was tested rigorously. Kudos to those who stood up and didn't get it. Here's what a vaccine does. Doesn't mean you're not going to get COVID. You'll still get it, probably. Although some of us, like me, never got it. Maybe I have super immunity. I have no idea. It doesn't mean you won't get really sick from COVID. All it means is you have a better likelihood of, if you get COVID, of going to the hospital and surviving. You don't have to take my word for it. Listen to Donald Trump talk about it. He said the same thing. His administration was in place when they developed the vaccine. You want to have a war on vaccines, then you're having a war on common sense, my take. I don't hate you because you're anti-vax. I just think you're wrong, as you do me for saying what I'm saying. That's America. All I'm saying is my point of view on this has been proven over the last almost 100 years. Lives saved, people's health improved. Even on this one. Quick break. Somewhat ironic. That means the pro-vax people, right? That means people that don't emphasize the risks of vaccines, and there are some risks. Anyone who says there aren't risks are lying to you. There are risks. Any medical procedure has a risk. For the 262, a couple positive ones. I don't always agree with you, but I appreciate your common sense, and today you're spot on. Steve, you know the medical field does stuff for profits. We don't care if Trump is in it for or not. We don't have blind loyalty like the left does. Steve, it's not as black as white as you're making. Vaccines are overwhelmingly beneficial. They should be used as such, but it's important to be able to criticize. You can criticize them if you want to, but here's the risk of what doing. Here's what's happening. Real life, real time. A growing number of people with a big microphone and a big audience are encouraging people to not get vaccinated. Not just for COVID, for a lot of things. Vax risk is real, but it's a very small, tiny percentage when you look at the number of people that are helped by vaccines of all kinds. That's the reality. All right, we're going to take a break. After the break for news, we're going to do a fun story. One of our teammates here, Ashton Rotman, producer extraordinaire for ESPN 94.5, is going to join us in studio. CBS 58 did a great piece on him and his dad for Father's Day. His dad has passed away. But it was a tremendous piece, and I want to bring Ash in to talk about it. We'll do that after the news, which is next on WTMJ.
Breaking down the biggest stories, talking about what really matters, and bringing you the biggest forum to let your voice be heard. Now, broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue, here's Steve Scafidi.
And welcome to 10 o'clock hour on this Tuesday edition. It's my Thursday because I'm off Wednesday and Thursday, then I'll be back on Friday. Going to enjoy the opening day of Summerfest. Looking forward to that, spending some time down there. Speaking of enjoying the time, we've spent the hour not enjoying talking about vax conspiracy and, you know, a shooting that marred what was an incredible celebration of Juneteenth yesterday. In studio, my friend and teammate, Ashton Rotman, producer extraordinaire. How are you, buddy?
I'm great, Steve. How are you doing? Thanks for having me in here.
Absolutely. Now, we talk almost every every morning I come in, you're usually here before me, and I'm here early.
Yep, it's early.
I mean, I'm here at 6-something for a 9 o'clock show, but you guys are here before me. And over the weekend, there was a story that ran on CBS 58. We're not going to play the whole thing, but it's about you, your dad, who passed away from pancreatic cancer, and an incredible venture that you're a part of. So I'm going to have you sit and listen to some of this. I know you've seen it and heard it a million times,
sure.
But we're going to play some of it, and then I want to talk to you about it.
Absolutely.
I think everyone has some sort of connection to food in one way or the other. It's either family meals or it's traditions.
Can we just have a puppy dog?
Fixing up comfort cuisine with family as the centerpiece.
Making it all with love. You know, it's kind of a cheesy saying, but it is. Anytime someone says, oh, what'd you put in this? Like, a little extra love.
Rot Tots is more than just a vessel for greasy patties and dogs. For owner Ashton Rotman and his dad, Mike, it's a dream come true.
About 5 or 6 years ago, my dad and I said, hey, let's start a restaurant. What do we like to eat? What's easy to eat? What do everyone like? Comfort food, burgers, hot dogs, Polish. I came with a business plan, went and looked at places, and him and I together, that was it. That was always our connection.
But bad news brought the Rots Hots blueprint to a screeching halt.
In December of 2016, he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer at stage 4. It's a weird thing to experience, to see someone kind of going through it, but I never once heard him complain.
1 year after his diagnosis, Mike Rotman passed away. His family was devastated, but Mike's optimism inspired them to push forward.
The month of grieving, and then it's let's do something. Like, I don't want to sit around. Let's do something. We want to be part of the cause. And we said, you know what? Let's make this into a positive. So let's turn the idea for Rots Hots into a way to raise money for pancreatic cancer research.
Little piece on Asher Rotman, his dad and his story. And, you know, if you've been out and about in the Milwaukee area, all the way down into Illinois, mm-hmm. Your Rots Hots food truck has been selling for quite a while now.
Well, we are actually coming up on 1 year. August 6th will be our 1 year kind of anniversary. And we stopped from the end of November until March. So we're still taking the winters off, but coming up on a year and done all sorts of different things. We did our very first wedding over the weekend. We've done festivals.
Cool.
We've done fairs. We've done just going out on a street one day. We've done all sorts of things. It's a fun business to learn about and a fun thing to do, and we're just trying to have fun with it.
And one of the reasons I wanted to bring in is I love this connection to your dad. He passed mm-hmm. away from pancreatic cancer, mm-hmm. very deadly cancer. Mm-hmm. I've had some neighbors of mine that have passed very quickly.
Yeah.
We were talking during the break how fast sometimes this happens. So that story is something that you can talk about as you go forward with this incredible, exciting adventure,
right.
adventure. And I love that connection for you. I love it.
It's great. Now, one of the things is like, so my dad and I and my brother as well, we used to always, you know, who doesn't love Food Network Cooking Channel just have on in the background?
Right.
That's one of the reasons why I love cooking so much is my mom, but also because it was kind of our connection between my brother and my dad and myself. So we would take road trips to go to these different spots from Guy Fieri's Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives or any of these things that were featured in like Carnival Eats, these different shows. We would take road trips and go to these spots, and that was like our big connection thing to do. And my mom owned a restaurant when I was younger, and so that was the other
What kind
thing
of
I,
restaurant?
She owned a bakery, so a cafe, fresh baked goods, sandwiches,
so it's in
coffees.
Your blood.
It's in my blood. Food is in my blood. Hopefully not too much in the blood, but it's definitely in the blood. That was our big connection was just food and like in sports as well. My dad and I being into sports, but food was the one that connected like our whole family together.
Tell me about your dad. this is the food connection, but
yeah.
tell me some more about him.
So my dad was this like looming figure, but in like the nicest sense, like a jolly. I always think of like, I explained this to somebody the other day. He's like Santa, but without the beard, like just this lovely guy. Just everyone wanted to be around him and talk to him. I remember the best way I can describe it and how he touched people's lives is after he passed away, we had, you know, the funeral. You go to the funeral home and there was two rooms that were filled with people that wanted to pay respects to him. And to me, that said a lot of his family owned a tire and wheel business on the south side of Chicago for over 80 years. So he built so many relationships there. And then just throughout life, people that his friends growing up, friends that he made with my mom and their kind of family friends. So, like, he was just someone that people would go to. And as far as the food aspect of it, it's like he always knew the spot to go, always knew where to go. We had our specific spots that were like our special ones on the south side of Chicago or just anywhere.
Give me some names.
So Maxwell Street Depot on 31st Street, which is that's like my spot. Rick and Benny's, it's on 26th, if you've ever been there as well. Those are our two spots. Al's Beef, everyone's heard of Al's Beef. That's yep. in Chicago area anyways. Those are like
one thing
our
about
main
Chicago,
three.
There's no shortage of good food.
There is
available.
No shortage. No. And but the thing is like you gotta find those spots that
yes.
are just like there. So those are the spots where if I'm taking somebody to Chicago and like we're spending the day there, I'm like, here are the spots we have to go to. I have my traditions when I go see White Sox games, I have to go to Maxwell Street. That's just what my dad and I always did. If I'm taking a road trip and we're going through Chicago, we have to stop there. It doesn't matter what time it is because it's open 24 hours.
So if somebody stops at a place and Rots Hots is there, your food mm-hmm. truck, what should they expect? What are you going to – is it different menu, different days? Or
no, so we have the same kind of core thing. The one of the great things about that I think we've done – and here I'm saying great talking about myself, but like
– it's all right.
It's very simple. I want people to look there and say, oh, I like that. Hot dog, boom. Kids love that. People love that. Burgers.
A Chicago staple.
Yeah. And burgers, Polish sausage, we do that. It's another Chicago staple. We do tater tots instead of fries. That's like one of the differences we do because I like tater tots and I think they're awesome. So
my wife would love you.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, tater tots, like who doesn't like tater tots? So that's kind of the different thing to it. And then Now we have a couple of other different items, but we have seven core items. That's it. So we keep it simple for everybody. You're going to get service fast, efficient, hopefully, at least as long as things are operating well that day, and also friendly. Like, we, part of the thing that I think connects people to food is like the ability to, you can disagree on it without it being like any malice. You could have an argument about like apples and pears, or just like a chocolate or cake or pie. Like, you just argue about it for no reason at all. It means nothing, but it's, everyone's got a take on food. It's one of the reasons why I love it. And you can always find that sort of thing on the truck. We're always going to have fun with people.
The hot take, as they say.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's the hot take, or we call it the hot dog take.
That's good. Ashton Rotman joining us in the studio. He's a producer for ESPN 94.5. He also does some stuff for WTMJ as well. And it's a great story. So one of the things that caught my ear, because I heard the story before I saw a little slice of it, is that you are funding research for pancreatic cancer. How is that happening?
So we've been doing that since 2017. So my grandpa passed away from pancreatic cancer as well in 2004, and that was when our family started kind of going into our bigger family, let's learn more about it. Put it sort of on the backboard, life happens. And when my dad got diagnosed, we're like all in. Like, let's do this. Let's find all the different organizations. The biggest one is it's called PanCAN. It's the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network. That's the big, like, global one that everyone has known. It's the one that has these walks every year, and they're the most fund goes towards that. But there are local ones in Chicago that we've won. There's local ones in here in Milwaukee in the area that are not affiliated with that, but are still affiliated towards different branches of research. So we kind of just figure out what we want there to be. And the thing about pancreatic cancer and why it's so hard to kind of deal with is there's no easy early detection. So anything that we can help with research wise to get to that, we want to do it. So the easy thing to me was, the easy connection is, any tips will go towards that. And we go to any fundraisers. We'll go to anything that has some connection to pancreatic cancer research. We want to be part of that, and we want to be part of the solution. The rates have gone from when my dad was diagnosed in December of 2016, I believe the 5-year survival rate was 7%, if I remember correctly. It might have been lower than that, and now it's nearing 15%.
So it's going in the right direction.
It's going the right direction. It's slow, slowly but surely, though. A lot of stuff is still not FDA approved. A lot of things are clinical trials, as it happens. And so it's really hard to get to the stage of getting to, I know that I can check for this, and I'll know about it. Otherwise, it just kind of happens.
All right, so two final questions.
Sure.
If someone wants to find out where your food truck's going to be, is there an easy way to find that out?
I'd say the two easiest ways are, they can go on Instagram and follow us at Rots Hots. Very simple.
Easy.
Or you can go online to our website. It's rots-hots.com.
All right, you said everybody has a love of food. Everyone has a certain way they like things. Mm-hmm. How do you have your hot dog?
The way I do it is, I do it, so our rot dog is our main thing. This is my creation for it. It's our take on the Chicago style. It's a Clements, so it's Milwaukee-based. It's a Clements all-beef hot dog with green relish, grilled onions, banana peppers, tomato, and then it's in a Milwaukee pretzel bun. And then it also has my version of, yellow mustard is usually what would go on it. It's called rot sauce. It's yellow mustard based with a little bit of horseradish bite. So it's my take on the Chicago style dog.
So I love that you woven some Wisconsin-Milwaukee connections.
Which was super important to me, because I wanted to be up here. Eventually, the dream is for this to be a brick and mortar, eventually. Nice. And my goal is for it to be in this area. So I think that any way I can get in some sort of local ties is great. And who doesn't love a pretzel bun?
Again, my wife is going to love you. The guy's rolling all my wife's greatest hits. Ashton Rotman, thanks for the work that you're doing. Thanks for the fun that you're having doing it.
That's great.
And your dad sounds like an incredible guy. And continuing that legacy, I think, is important.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you.
Ashton Rotman, our friends at ESPN 94.5, loaning him to us for a few minutes. We'll take a break here. You're listening, of course, to WTMJ. Lots of moving pieces today as we are in our temporary mic situation, because Vinny blew up the main mic this morning. I basically came in and touched the stand, and the whole thing disintegrated.
It had to have been him.
Yeah, because I barely touched it.
He said, he probably just set it so like it looked like it wasn't broke, and then as soon as you touch it.
That's that new guy thing, right? They don't want to, ruffle any feathers, hurt any feelings, but my feelings aren't hurt, but dude, you broke the mic. What's Wags going to say when he comes in here at noon? He ain't going to be happy, trust me. I've worked with them long enough. All right. A couple things quickly on, some of the big things we're talking about are obviously the violence that happened after the Juneteenth festival yesterday. Not the parade. Parade was earlier. Then there was a festival and people having a good time. Then some young women, girls started fighting. Gunshots ensued. Number of people injured. No fatalities at this point, thankfully. But it brings up the question about police. And I was thinking about this morning when I was getting ready for the show about the questions and solutions to violence in Milwaukee. And, you know, I get a lot of, well, why aren't the police doing something about this? Why are they, you know, why are their numbers getting cut? These are all great questions. And we've talked about a lot of these things many, many times, as does Jeff. So I guess my answer initially is there's no easy solution to this. When you talk about violence, especially among young people, there's parenting issues, there's lack of discipline, there's an educational component as well, where they're allowed to terrorize a school versus learning in school. And look, if you listen to the show, you know I've argued for work camps for young people who can't behave in school. And some people, oh my God, how can you say that? Because they literally have said to you with their behavior, they don't want to be in school. So I'm going to teach them a skill. We're going to force them to behave. Now, again, I understand. I'm not naive. There's still going to be people that get in trouble. It's not a perfect world and certainly not a perfect country. I'm big on the short-term, long-term thing. And I've mentioned this before. There are short-term solutions that we can do to change things. Stricter sentencing, right? Finding solutions for young people who get in trouble constantly. Better security. More police. More smart solutions to when young people get in trouble. Those are all short-term solutions. And the long-term one is we're going to have to get better as a country. We've seen the erosion of faith. We've seen the erosion of rule of law, law and order, behavior, conduct. People can't even behave on social media anymore. I could tweet out something that has nothing to do, that's not controversy at all. There'll be some knucklehead who wants to take it in a different direction. We don't all have to agree on things. But we should all agree that what we're doing is not working. That what we're doing is causing some of the problems we are trying to eradicate. And not that I want to belabor this point because I talked about it enough in the 9 o'clock hour. The classic example is the erosion of science, faith in vaccines. What, because it's a political hot potato and a talking point? That's why you won't get vaccinated? That's why you don't trust scientists anymore? That's why you hate Dr. Anthony Fauci? My goodness. Sometimes there's short-term solutions to these things. And some of that means you're going to have to suck it up. And all the freedoms that you think you have that you probably don't have, including the freedom to act a fool, we're going to tighten that up a little bit. And yeah, it's going to be painful for those who can't behave, who have never been told no. I don't care. There's a phrase for that. It's called tough love. Maybe it's time for the tough love. Just saying. Quick break. One of the things I'm going to talk about after the bound the hour is part of the shared revenue bill that's, I think, being signed in Wausau this morning. Governor will be there. Mayor of Milwaukee will be there because I asked him to be on the show, and he said, I got to be there for the signing in beautiful Wausau, Wisconsin. Is that the highest place in the state? I think it is. Rib Mountain? Does that sound right? I think it is.
Yeah, sure.
I just make it sound. Yeah. But who's going to fact check me on that?
It sounds good.
I think it is. Rib Mountain. Maybe not. Maybe one of those ski hills in northern Wisconsin. Maybe that qualifies. All right. So one of the things that sort of been talked about here, but maybe not elsewhere, is some of the qualifiers or the restrictions in how Milwaukee, post this signing, will have to live their lives as elected officials. And one of those things has to do with policing and specifically the Fire and Police Commission. So we're going to get to that story. And I got a stack of things to talk about, including a story that just irritated me. Donald Trump getting cheers at the Wisconsin GOP convention, which will fire up those people who are Trump supporters. We'll get to that at some point in the program as well today. And then some more fun stuff later. I still have an hour and a half before we hand it off to Jeff Wagner. Don't forget, show notes, I'm off Wednesday and Thursday. Jeff in for me tomorrow, Tracy Johnson on Thursday, and I'll be back on Friday with a rip-roaring edition of the Political Power Hour with Bill McCoshin and Joseph Peck. As I said before the break, one of the things that happens with the signing of these shared revenue bills is there are going to be some changes for Milwaukee. And There's still a lot to be determined on our end, and I'm saying our because I'm sitting in the city of Milwaukee, downtown Milwaukee. The Avenue, Wisconsin Avenue, center of the city. And that is, I think, an important piece of this. Now, we know that the county board has to weigh in for the county pieces, and the common council has to weigh in on the city side of things to get these increased tax abilities working for the city. And for all those who are mad about this, keep in mind, the problems you're facing, the financial situations that impacted the future of this city, including threats of bankruptcy, were caused by the actions of elected officials, specifically the pension issue. Everybody loves a generous pension. Who wouldn't? But they have to be matched with fiscal reality, and that wasn't the case. And I'm not going to go back and relive the early 2000s. But we know what happened, and we know the result of that is created a financial mess for the city. So one of the things that happens with the new legislation removes the commission, fire and police commission's ability to set policies for the police and fire department, which they have now, which I think is fairly rare. I think it was, they did a sampling of across the country, and it was one of a couple departments that had, or commissions rather, that had that kind of power. And to that change, I say bravo. I don't want local elected officials making police or fire policy. I just don't. And I understand this is all part of the civilian revolution, right? We can do it better. We can make smarter decisions. Can you? Really? How's that working out? Last time I checked, you had violence after a celebration festival and parade yesterday. How's that working for you? The responsibility for policy goes back to department chiefs. Now, the Common Council will hold on to apparently a sort of a supermajority with 2/3. It also requires 2 members of the commission to be chosen from lists submitted to the mayor by unions representing police officers and firefighters. Also, I think, a good thing. Now, critics have said this is the Republicans' desire to take policymaking power away from the unelected people on the commission. No, it's an attempt, again, I overuse this term, but a cold, hard slap to the face that people need to wake up to reality. What we are currently doing is not working. 855-616-1620. I welcome these changes. Keep in mind, this is a city that rode a chief out of town based on questionable tactics, who's now a police chief in a different location. Nothing against Jeffrey Norman, the current police chief. I think he said the right things. But again, I'm a results guy. I'm an action guy. If you're going to be the chief, if you're going to be the fire and police commission, if you're going to be an elected official, give me some results and stop complaining about everything. You're in this situation because of something you created. The legislature and the governor have ridden in on a horse or horses and said, we're going to help you here. We're going to help you fix this mess. You know, most of this is a post-George Floyd reaction. Citizens are going to fix this. We're going to make police more accountable. We're going to fix it with new legislation and new court decisions. But what they really did is blow up public's confidence in police, destroyed morale in departments. And I don't want to mean to be just police specific, but that's when you're talking about violence, especially gun violence and crime, that's the group that's going to be dealing with it. And a mass retirement. You know that last year Gallup did a poll on confidence in police? You know what the number was? Had confidence? Less than half of us. 45%. You know what happens if no one has confidence in the police? We have complete chaos. It's George Floyd times 10. Milwaukee, survey on police satisfaction. 36% of us were unhappy with the Milwaukee Police Department. What does this mean? For common councils, for fire and police commissions, not just Milwaukee, any city, there should be a growing emphasis on results and an understanding that if you're not getting it done, don't let the door hit you. And again, tough love. I don't care if you don't like it. This is a compromise legislative solution. Democratic governor, Republican-led legislature, and you have a choice. You can accept it or not accept it. But if you don't accept it, Milwaukee Common Council and Milwaukee County Board, good luck. Then you're on your own. Always feel better when I hear a Bruce Springsteen song on a break. Thank you, producer Brandon. Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday. I'm off Wednesday and Thursday. I'll be back for Friday's show. You'll be in the good hands of Jeff Wagner and Tracy Johnson. And by the way, Rib Mountain is the second highest point in the state. It's Tim's Hill, which I'm not. Is it Tim's Hill? Tim's Mount? Not familiar with that, but somebody can tell me where that is. Tim's Hill, highest point in the state. Texter said quickly, is it possible to combine some tax increase along with reducing the pension liability? I've talked for years about this. Milwaukee was unafraid, city and county, to make pension changes when they needed to. Given what happened in the early 2000s, they had a responsibility. What are we going to do? Instead, they chose the short track to financial ruin, and by doing really nothing. And here we are. Now the legislature's stepping in. They're making some changes that will impact what Milwaukee does. That's the implication of doing nothing, my opinion. Jeff joins us from Brookfield. Welcome, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, Steve. Thanks for the call.
Absolutely.
Just when you were talking about people and their lack of confidence in the police, it always brings back to my mind a old Dragnet show where they were investigating a dirty cop. And they got all done, and the Ben Alexander, who is Joe Friday's partner, says, why does this happen? And he said, well, as Chief Parker used to say, you're always going to have problems with dirty cops because you have to recruit from the human race.
Yeah.
And, you know, if people want to condemn the cops, go look at the Congress. Go look at any business. You know, how many dirty people are there, you know, that commit stuff? They're human beings, you know. They make mistakes. And, God, cops get a split second to decide whether they're going to fire their gun or not. What do people expect?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Jeff. And that's a thoughtful look at it. And I agree with Jeff. Not surprising. We've demonized police officers. Now, I admit there are some bad ones. And we all know the cases, right, across the country. Went too far. Here's the thing, though. Many of the cases you're talking about, the officers are serving time in a prison cell. Maybe we should have that same consequence for individuals in the community who are committing acts of violence. It's just a thought. And I said earlier in the show, I was disappointed by what happened in Milwaukee yesterday after the Juneteenth Festival. And I still am disappointed. That should not happen. And I've asked teammates about this. I've asked experts, subject matter experts on gun violence and crime in communities away from the show and on the show. What are we going to do here? Until the attitude changes, until the behavior changes, other than the short-term fixes, which I've talked about, more discipline, more police, more security, more cameras, long-term, I'm not so confident. We have to change minds here. And as much as Milwaukee, city or county, doesn't like the fact that someone's telling him this is how it's going to work, and oh, by the way, expect more of that. Barring some unforeseen change in how our state is structured now, right now with leadership, expect more of that. And when I'll take the governor on his word. He was on the show last week when he was talking about these compromise solutions. That's what this is, folks. This is a compromise. And now Milwaukee, council and board, city and county, are going to be asked to say, are we willing to compromise? I don't want to hear the speech-making. I don't want to hear the call-outs of BS. BS is doing nothing different. The legislature and the governor, in a true bipartisan fashion, have crafted something that says, let's look at this problem in a different way. And this is one of many things they're trying to fix. One is just the fiscal nightmare that the city and county of Milwaukee are facing. But the fact that we will now see SROs back in Milwaukee public schools, not as many as I'd like. I mean, they asked for about 150. They're getting about, what, 25, 26? Good start, though. And if I hear one more representative of MPS say, we don't like this, this is bad. And I'm paraphrasing. What you're doing is not working. This is a different idea. It's bringing back an old idea that you've, frankly, threw out with the trash that you probably shouldn't have. Because last time I checked, you're still calling the police when you have problems in schools. Why not just have a police officer there? Seems to make sense. So maybe this is the beginning of something. Starts with the legislature and the governor working together. Who would have thought? As much as they supposedly hate each other. Who would have thought? Asking not just the legislators, local leaders, but the residents also to be part of this solution. Now's the time to step up. Parents be better, being better parents. Electeds being better, more responsible, making better fiscal decisions. Not trying to get everything you want and shunning everything else that the other side says. This was a compromise bill. Understand that. Vote accordingly. Because if you don't, as I said before, that's an epic fail. Quick break. Always wisdom to be found on the Old National Bank talk and text line 855-616-1620. Tim's Hill is in Price County west of Tomahawk. So now we know Tim's Hill, less commercialized than Rib Mountain in the Wausau area. So that's north central part of the state. Very pretty up there, by the way, especially in the fall. From Jim and Economwalk on our discussion about police, fire and police commission, changes on their way due to a recent shared revenue bill signing today in Wausau, by the way. Cops are terrific in general, but there's no such thing as one bad cop. Let's be truthful. When there's one bad cop, recent cases show there are perhaps six or more cops who provide cover for that bad officer. Those six may file false police reports or destroy evidence. When that happens, you just don't have one bad cop. You have seven bad cops. Let's stop with the indictment of police. Here's the issue that I have with all of this. And you're welcome to share your opinion, 855-616-1620. If you are defund the police, and there's not many people that still hang on to that horrible idea, but even the president threw that away in his State of the Union speech a couple ago. The alternative is chaos. And as we've seen in Milwaukee and other large cities, chaos is not a good result. And, you know, I'm always surprised by, you know, people that like to quote funding of police as if it doesn't cost anything. Well, when you have a lot of crime and you have a lot of police officers, it's going to cost you, and it will be the largest piece of your budget on occasion. But ask the folks who benefit from police. Those neighborhoods that encourage enforcement, those neighborhoods that don't see police officers, who, by the way, now look like the neighborhoods they serve. That was the common complaint. Those white officers don't represent my community. That era's over. Women, minorities, people of color, they're serving in that police department that you accused of being racist. So ease up on the police is the enemy thing, because we've seen it flourish in schools without SROs. And I'll make the connection. When you grow up in a school without a police officer, not understanding the positive benefits of that relationship from early on, elementary, middle school, high school, you shouldn't be surprised that the next step in that equation is post-school, whatever grade they leave the school environment, educational environment, that they're going to have a tense relationship with anybody in the public safety community. 262, the texter says, Milwaukee would be an idiot to vote no. We're going to find out. I'm hearing a lot of noise, but noise pre-vote is just that noise. And I will, as will others who do what I do, we will call out the folks who, if they do, reject this compromise bill and the requirements that the bodies we're talking about, Common Council and County Board, have a two-thirds majority. Something to think about on this Tuesday. All right, 11 o'clock hour after the news. So we're going to talk about a few things. So a few things that we brought up earlier, and one of them is the war on vaccines. So I'm asking the question this way in the 11 o'clock hour. Do you believe a popular host of a podcast, a celebrity, their claim about science, or do you believe the actual scientists? Now, I'm encouraged by my show poll results. We'll revisit those after the top of the hour news. But unfortunately, there's a growing perception that a lot of people believe the show host, podcaster, celebrity before they believe the scientist. That trend is not a good one. And is there a war on local newspapers? I'll answer the question, yes. And technical colleges. That one's a little more mixed, but we'll get to those questions. And the absurdity of some new relationships. That'll be a little bit later in the 11 o'clock hour. That's all coming up as you listen live on this Tuesday here on WTMJ.
Breaking down the biggest stories, talking about what really matters, and bringing you the biggest forum to let your voice be heard. Now, broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue, here's Steve Scafidi.
I'm still here, yes. I'm at the temporary mic as we sort out engineers aplenty trying to figure out how to repair that mic before Wagner gets in here. Because all hell to pay if that mic's not fixed by the time Jeff Wagner straddles up to it. I'm just kidding. I'm sure Jeff would be just fine. But it is rather limiting just from an inside baseball perspective because I don't have the screens that I typically have. But anyway, we're making the best of it. So earlier in the show, I was talking about this. This is my show poll today. I did it for a specific reason, which I'm going to get to now, which is a story that I'm going to read from. But here's the show poll. You can find it on Twitter at 620WTMJ or at WTMJSteve, which is my page. Give me a follow if you could. Who do you trust for the most accurate information related to public health concerns? And I gave you a few choices. The internet, right now at 7%. The medical health community, 80%. And this part I love. Congress/elected officials, 0.8. So somebody voted for them, apparently, which is the wrong selection. And I'm going to say that. And then a lot of comments. I read some of those earlier. Here's why I put that poll up today. And one, thank you for those votes. We're almost at 300 already, so great job, you. I think it's important that we have this debate because we spent a lot of the pandemic fighting about masks, fighting about vaccines, and unfortunately that war on masks and vaccines has bled out into now a general war on all vaccines of all types, whether that's meningitis or fill in the blank, polio, apparently. Which brings me to this story. And you can join the conversation, 855-616-1620. And I know going in that just the very conversation about vaccines will make people crazy. Now, just so you know where I'm at on this, I'll baseline it for you. You can do what you want, but I'm not going to accept an opinion that says vaccines are dangerous. I'm just not. Vaccines have been proven over time. Are there no risk to vaccines? Of course not. That would be foolish. There's risk to every medical procedure, whether it's a vaccine, whether it's, as in my case, I told a story about getting my eardrum pierced to drain fluid behind it. There was a 1% or 2% chance I could lose my hearing. I took the risk. And now I can hear. Which leads me to this story. Washington Post. Vaccine scientist says anti-vaxxers stalked him after Joe Rogan's challenge. What are they talking about? And I'm going to read from the story. Washington Post. A vaccine scientist says anti-vax activists stalked him at his home Sunday after Joe Rogan and others, including Twitter owner Elon Musk, challenged the scientist to debate Robert F. Kennedy Jr., an anti-vax proponent, and of course now a Democratic presidential candidate, over vaccine misinformation. So Peter Hotez is the Houston-based scientist. Been on CNN, a bunch of networks. Considered an expert in pediatric health, global health, vaccinology, tropical disease control. Like a real scientist, not an internet scientist, not your crazy uncle from Germany who says it's all COVID was a scam. Not that guy. Also part of a Nobel Prize nominated team of scientists who created the easy to use and easy, relatively easy to make because they crafted it in a short amount of time, coronavirus vaccine. So this argument started with Joe Rogan, popular podcaster, challenging Hotez to debate RFK. Said he'd give $100,000 to the charity of Hotez's choice. If, this is a direct quote, if you're willing to debate him on my show with no time limit. Okay, first of all, what is that about? What are you going to do for 8 hours? Then billionaires were chiming in. They give money. Vax skeptics. Musk, who then tweeted that Hotez was wrong because he's afraid of a debate, so he got to be wrong. So they show up at his home to harass, taunt, confront him about the Rogan challenge. Stalked in front of his home. Hotez said this to the Washington Post. He shoved a cell phone camera in my face and asked if I would debate RFK on Rogan. Lying in wait, he said. It's very sad. All we're trying to do is get a cake for Father's Day. He added, the anti-vaccine attacks usually come in waves of aggression, and this one is about as bad as it's been for the last 20 years, which is what I want to talk about. We can all have opinions about COVID, the pandemic, response, and I often go back to this, and you're welcome to join us, 855-616-1620, Yale National Bank, talk and text line. What we know now is not what we knew at the beginning of the pandemic. So stop with that. We had a series of stories where elderly in nursing homes were dying at a pretty rapid rates from exposure to COVID. That story, initial early stories, were terrifying and led to a lot of the early response metrics when it comes to the pandemic. Masking immediately, shutting down bars, restaurants, schools, all of that. Because that's all we knew at the time. So, yeah, you can be smarter about the pandemic now and COVID now because you have the wisdom of the last 3 years in your pocket. We know that the vaccine doesn't prevent you from getting COVID. No reasonable person thinks that anymore. Doesn't mean you can't get sick. I have people I know that are still getting COVID. And I mentioned this earlier in the program. I've never gotten it. And I've tested probably, including blood tests, 18 times when someone close to me got COVID and I wasn't sure if I had it. What it does do, the vaccine, which is not in dispute, it decreases the likelihood that you will die of COVID. And that's kind of it, which is a big it. Now, I know what Joe Rogan does for a living. He does a podcast, among some other things. Does some broadcasting for MMA events. But his job is to get attention, to be sensational, flamboyant. In some cases, spreading conspiracies. And this is not the first time he's done it. He was called out in 2022 about COVID-19 vaccination. So what Rogan did is just kept bringing more and more experts on, air quoting experts, to make his case for him. And he's admitted, I don't always get it right, direct quote. And his show, 11 million listeners per episode. That's big numbers, folks. But he's not going away. Neither is RFK Jr., who's running for president as a Democrat. He's the son of Robert F. Kennedy, nephew of President John Kennedy. His own family's called him out for conspiracy theories about vaccines and other things. And the, you know, the surprising thing, I heard this on our news, our airwaves this morning. Right now among Democrats, he's getting like 17% of the votes, which is kind of shocking. There's, other than Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis on the Republican side, none of their other candidates are getting anywhere close to that. So this is serious from that point of view. 855-616-1620. I asked the question in the 9 o'clock hour. I asked the question again. I think this is bad for our country. I think what we're doing here in this podcast world that we live in now, talk radio, talk TV, squawk radio, squawk TV, are challenging the very institutions that guaranteed us a safe, secure country. I think it's that serious. Throwing away decades, if not centuries, of research based on internet whims and conspiracy theories. That's the risk to me. 855-616-1620. What do you think? We'll take a break. Join the conversation. 855-616-1620 after this on WTMJ. Who do you believe? A podcaster, a squawk radio host, a squawk TV host, or an actual doctor, medical professional, subject matter expert, vaccinologist, that's a term. I'm asking for your thoughts. 855-616-1620, the old National Bank talking text line. From the 920, my friends in healthcare always talk about the naysayers that showed up at the hospital, barely able to breathe, asking for their help in the end. I wonder if they'd sign off saying no need for healthcare services and save the burden on the system. I know that won't happen, but I wanted to voice it. Well, thanks for voicing it. Answer's probably no. They're probably scared and realizing that their beliefs got them in trouble. And I saw this firsthand, and I don't know if I've shared this before. The cemetery that I'm involved with as a volunteer. Three members of the same family passed away from COVID in about 6 months, leaving one terrified remaining member who is traumatized beyond belief. Unvaccinated. I don't know the family well enough to know if they took it seriously or not, but it's a real life story. One that unfortunately has played out over and over and over again. Steve from the 920, it's puzzling that anti-vaxxers don't trust medical experts about the vaccine facts. However, they trust the same medical experts to save their lives after getting COVID. Yeah, it's an interesting choice there, isn't it? And, you know, picking and choosing what they choose to believe. Now, the next text that I'm going to read is I think, part and parcel part of the problem here. And that's to do with Dr. Anthony Fauci, now retired, formerly of the National Institute for Health. Fauci ruined my confidence and trust doctors and science. Not to say I'm a naysayer for vaccines, but I just need more information, established data before making the decision. Here's the thing that I always tell people when they say stuff like this, and I respect your opinion, and that's why I read it. However much research you do, data you peruse on the internet, or however you do it, why would you ever think you're going to know better than a doctor? Or in the case of a vaccine, someone who actually works in that field. Why would you assume that? This is a country we live in, probably a world as well, because the world's taking on a lot of common traits now, given the way that we process information and move things around so quickly. Plenty of people that have health insurance never use it. They don't go to their doctor. They don't have checkups. They don't get their blood pressure taken. They don't have cholesterol checked once a year. They don't have physicals. Basically, they're afraid of doctors, so they just ignore them, even though they have health insurance and they can easily do those things, often to their own detriment, because many of these people get serious illness and pass away. There's no guarantees in life. You could get hit by a car. I get it. Diane says it looks at it from a political perspective. The hostility that President Trump manifested as normal has taken over and will take decades to erase. He has harmed this country far more than people will admit. That's from Diane. Hey, Steve. Joe Rogan isn't responsible for some jerk on the street confronting the individual with his cell in the man's face. Joe has never stated he was an expert, but he offers a solid platform for a debate from both sides. You yourself have called out elected officials for the same type of debate. So why is it okay for you but not okay for Joe? I'm not saying he can't do it. But there is when someone does that type of podcast and or broadcast, and you incite that kind of behavior, there is a cause and effect. There is a shared responsibility there, I think, to be responsible and to avoid, whenever possible, using conspiracy theories. I'll take it away from vaccines. I'll do politics. There were plenty of folks who do what I do. You'll all finally remember this one. Post-2020 election for president. Plenty of folks, talking heads, squawking heads, who spent a lot of time on conspiracy theories. You remember the election was stolen stuff? Including elected officials saying we should have an election do-over? Really? Where most reasonable, rational people, I don't want to say normal, because what's normal? Most reasonable, rational people understood the election wasn't stolen. It's not stolen. It never was. That Joe Biden won the election. Donald Trump lost. And he refuses to accept it. But I also let any one time, because I heard him say it, some fairly recently are still going down that narrative. Still saying that on their shows. Well, there could be a chance. No, there's no chance. He lost the election. And those types of stories, those types of conspiracy peddling have resulted in a complete lack of faith, lack of trust, distrust in almost every institution that for the last 100 years or more provided stability and calm in a country. Now people are running around with their heads cut off, screaming about what their crazy uncle saw on the internet. That's not the way it should be, folks. We'll take a break here. Still your chance to get in, 855-616-1620. Phone calls are encouraged. I know we have a lot of issues today, but love to talk to you as well. We'll take a break here on WTMJ. War on science, war on vaccines. I mean, you could pick almost any subject. There's a war going on. Some of it's social media created. I get that. Luis from Menominee Falls joins us on the phone line. Hey, Luis.
How are you, sir? Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. What do you think?
Listen, I really appreciate your program. It's a great program, and it's those programs that I love to talk about. In reference to the theory, whether the vaccine or the others, my view on that is that it's two or three things, real quick. Number one, I think they are created in people's minds. Because in America, most people, different generations, do not take the time and read. As much as information we have today, they don't take the time to educate themselves. People got this mentality of being like formatted where, you know, school ends and then I'm done. But they need to self-educate themselves in many ways. Because if you had the right information, then you won't be fearful, which is my second point.
Mm-hmm.
Due to the fear that people might have to the unknown, that could have created, in the case of the vaccine, the situation. And in the case of politics, since you mentioned it, it's the same fear to the unknown as to their future or the unsecureness. But at the same time, there are things that need to be taken care of in this country by the government. And as long as, you know, one thing is when somebody is in dire need, you know, their safety, like the public's issue with the vaccines, or if they are hunger, really proven hunger or really bad need, that's one thing. The other thing is where people just taking for granted government assistance programs, and so much. I was just viewing a grant list that came in my email today. So many nonprofits of all these grants that they get in for the summer only, and I say, Jesus, I've never, maybe there is, but I've never heard of any of those programs in action in the different communities, except that I read it in my email that those grants are coming up for the summer.
Give me a sum up, Luis. What's your overall point?
My overall point is that because of the lack of knowledge of people to the unknown or the, and others that take advantage of those situations to instill fear in people is the reason why conspiracy theories come up in any given subject in this country.
Yeah, I love it, Luis. Thanks for that. And I agree with them. I think that's a big part of it. And again, the internet is a wonderful tool. And websites can do amazing things. They can inform, they can sell, they can entertain. All that's true. But let's be less gullible. Now, I'm going to read the last text before I get to news here with Tony Cartagena. My wife is an ICU, this is Ryan. My wife is an ICU nurse, and she told me that she'd have patients, family members, come in to visit a family member in the ICU with COVID. And they'd still not believe it, nor in the vaccine. One guy was visiting his spouse who had COVID near death, and he wore a shirt saying, "I'm a lion, not a sheep." On its face. Are you serious? I mean, come on. What are you doing? Doesn't mean everything scientists say is true. It isn't. But the efficacy of the vaccine is proven. It's not a debate about that anymore. Is it perfect? No. There's risk to any vaccine, any medical procedure. That hasn't changed, nor will it ever change, as far as I know. And I'm not a scientist. But this constant barrage of misinformation, disinformation on this and many subjects, because it sells, it's sexy, it's sensational, it's some people's minds thought-provoking, especially when it's done by elected officials, is dangerous. Especially at the same time when they know that the very thing they're arguing for works against the positives of things like vaccines and science. Since I'm down this road on the show today, I might as well continue on that path. I've talked about the war on newspapers, and I noticed it in the social media world. Smart people, people I respect, people I enjoy their work on social media, or in some cases their play, with really some off-base criticisms of local newspapers. Now, let me be clear on this, because I think establishing a baseline is smart for the beginning of any conversation, whether it's confrontational, positive, negative, whatever. Newspapers also aren't perfect. Every reporter, whether they admit it or not, has a built-in bias. Some acknowledge, some don't. And with the rise of advocacy journalism, where we see reporters shilling for parties on both sides, Republicans, conservatives, liberals, Democrats, it's very common now. And that's created this confusion, almost this expectation that, how dare you're not agreeing with me, therefore you must be biased, therefore I hate your newspaper, therefore I'm not going to subscribe to it. So one of the ways that this plays out, again, real life, real time, is there is a responsibility of a local community, government agency, whatever that is, village, town, city, county, to publish their official notices, their meeting links, basically the business of public announcements. Meetings, elections, land sales, sometimes job openings, other routine things, used to always be printed in the local newspaper. Now they're, of course, linked in the local newspaper. And in many cases, that's a revenue producer for the newspapers. I was just reading a story online about a local paper in New York. And local elected officials got mad at the local paper because of their stories about something that was happening in the community. I'm not going to go into the details because that's not the point. The point is the community pulled those notices from that paper to the tune of about $13,000 a year in revenue. And for a newspaper, a small newspaper, local newspaper, it's a big deal. $13,000, big deal. In recent years, states like California, Colorado, North Carolina, New Jersey, New York, local communities have stripped those contracts for public notices because of articles critical to their local government. Now, if you want to really go out there. Florida, even further. They've revoked the requirement that those notices even have to appear in newspapers. So this war on newspapers continues. Now, you know, Donald Trump, former president, made the press the enemy. He would encourage, this is, you know, this is all part and parcel of the same thing, people who attended his rallies to turn on the collected media assemblage behind the rally attendees and have them jeer and hurl insults. Now, why is this significant? Well, one, war on information is never a good thing. And some legal experts say that the weaponization of these public notice contracts is actually against the law. And I wasn't even aware of this until I read the story. Under the First Amendment, governments can't retaliate against a newspaper or anyone, basically, because of a viewpoint. And if you can have a cause and effect on this, so a local official says something, we're not, and they do this all the time, trust me. We're not going to post our notices in that paper. They wrote an article I didn't like. That's all the evidence you need. As we've learned recently with the former president, you may love going on TV and talking about stuff, but you may not be so happy at the end when your words, your own words, the words that you spoke out loud on a national network are used against you in a court of law. Just like that, a local elected official saying something in a open public meeting, expressing an opinion that results in an action against a local newspaper, that might be used against you. And the $13,000 in the case of the New York contract might turn into, $500,000 in judgment against you for the words you spoke. Why does this matter? I go back to what I said year one of this show 6+ years ago. If you think you're going to get better information from an elected official than you do from whatever newspaper is your paper of record in your community, you're wrong. Don't trust them. And as we see in our show poll, which I'll revisit after the break, I'm encouraged by the fact that more and more people are recognizing that fact. They're supposed to do the people's work. Madison, Washington. But what we're frequently getting now is press releases, press conferences, and TV and radio appearances. Less real work, more of the fake stuff. Kind of like social media. Quick break. All right, so let's revisit our poll and see how we're doing. See if my faith has been renewed in civilization. So I asked the question, who do you trust the most for accurate information when it comes to public health concerns? And I give you a few choices. The internet, the medical health community, and Congress electeds. And we are just shy of 300 votes. And the overwhelming favorite gives me faith. Medical health community, 80%. The internet getting a respectable 7.4%. As far as I can tell, Congress / elected officials got one vote out of 282 votes. That is the right answer. That is exactly the right answer. I've said this before on the show, and I've had elected officials yell at me about this. Why you give to elected officials anymore? I don't get it. Why? Why would you donate to their cause? They ignore you. They shun what you say. Often now they choose not to respond to constituent emails or phone calls. They just choose not to, which in my day was inexcusable. And my day was basically 2009 to 2016. But yet that here we are. Let's sample some of the comments on the twits. Some of the more recent comments. Let's see. Certainly never politicians or crazed parents. No. Jerry says, so who without evidence recommends kids should get the COVID vaccine? Anyone in that ballpark can go, and he uses an expletive. Actually, it was an abbreviation for an expletive. Doctors recommend it. And if they don't, then don't. My point has always been the same. So I have a choice. I can believe me, who's not a scientist, not a doctor, or what my doctor says. I've had the same doctor, Bill Steinman, for 30 plus years. When he tells me to do something, I listen, and two, then I usually do it. Matter of fact, I can't think of a time where I didn't listen to him, his advice. Whether that's, hey, lower your cholesterol, lose weight, get this knee surgery, get your ear checked. Now, I could, in the new world view that we have, go on the internet and Google all those things and then take that advice, but I choose not to. And I think most people, again, I'm acknowledging it's an unscientific poll, so take it for what it's worth. Most people would say, that makes sense. You have a doctor, you have health insurance. Most plans now, you're probably paying part of that premium, right? Pretty rare to have free insurance anymore, and there's still a few outliers, of course. So your idea is you're gonna pay that or have that plan, and you're going to ignore what your medical professional says because you know better because you read it on the internet or you listen to a podcast that says don't do that. That's the choice. So I'm encouraged by the poll response and by the number of people who voted. So thanks for doing all of that. As I said, show note before we get out of here for break, and then we'll hand it off to Jeff. I am off Wednesday and Thursday. Jeff Wagner will be in this spot doing his show in the morning tomorrow, Wednesday. And Thursday, Tracy Johnson will be sitting in, not this chair, but the one to my immediate right, because the microphone is now fixed, just in time for the Wagner show. How about that? And then I'll be back on Friday for all the regular features, McCaution, Zepecki, Political Power Hour, Virtual Baseball, sponsored by Siding Unlimited, and, of course, the Steve Rowe the World, Weekend Review, sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited, all the sponsors, all the fun, all the stuff we always do on Friday, and then, of course, off to the weekend. Quick sampling of the text line before I get the break. Hey, Steve, happy 620 day. Thanks for always putting in the work to have an entertaining and informative show. You are welcome, and thanks for taking the time to listen. I appreciate that. There was a... And here's the other side of that one. There's a time when I used to listen to and thank you for the and thought you provided balanced information, but then you came down with the Trump derangement syndrome. I'll say this about Trump because I don't want to get bogged down in it because that's what he does. When he did something I like, I complimented him. When he does dumb things, I will call him out for the dumb things he does. That's it. That's the science behind the Trump derangement syndrome. If that's what you think, that's what you think. All right, we'll see what Jeff Wagner thinks and what he's going to talk about after this on WTMJ.
Closing time. Open all.
Thanks for everybody for all the great texts. Didn't do as many phone calls today because we had some technical challenges with the whole microphone dust up, but thanks to our crack engineering staff, Jeff Wagner is going to be in perfect position to deliver 3 hours of solid, scintillating, science-based. tell me that microphone works, Jeff. Please tell me that.
Working. Oh, there we go. All right. Had to turn it up. Okay, there you go.
God, it's good to hear your voice.
Well, yeah. Well, especially since, but in the event that they came up about like 10 o'clock, I was sitting upstairs. Somebody said, the microphone's broken. So, what do you mean the microphone's broken? And then they said, the microphone's broken. We're working on it.
Literally, I walked in, and you know the transition, right? So, everybody shifts chairs generally, and then I walk up, and Vinny says, well, there's a crack in it. I touch it and the thing falls off the stand.
So you're the one that broke it.
Technically I'm the one that broke it. So blame it on me. Deduct it out of my paycheck.
That's okay. And yes, you're taking a couple days off.
Yeah, and you're going to be here for me tomorrow, so I love that.
Absolutely. I'll be here from 9 until 12:30. You know, I have to figure out, and this is actually one of the topics we're going to do in just a little bit. I live in the North Shore. I live in Ozaukee County, and normally the commute is 20 minutes.
You're not getting that tomorrow.
It's any day. It's now gone to an hour. And there's no – the thing is we're going to discuss this. I understand you have to have construction, but for anybody who's tried to drive it, it's not just that the freeway is torn up, but it's like most of the alternative routes are torn up.
Correct me if I'm wrong. There used to be a construction season. It's all year now, right?
Right, right.
That's changed.
Well, exactly. And look, and I understand you've got to make these improvements, but it is interesting to me that you make everything at once. So, okay, well, you can't take the freeway. You take Port Washington Road. No, you can't take that because that's all torn up. Well, then you can cut over to Lake Drive. No, we can't get over there because Brown Deer Road is torn up. It's just one thing after another. And the scary thing, Steve, is it's going to be like this for months and months and months.
Yeah, it's not every city's got it. Every freeway, it's just all over the place.
Well, a 20-minute commute has turned into like an hour commute.
But I appreciate your willingness to come in early.
Exactly. We'll just figure out what time it's going to be. So looking forward to that. Enjoy a couple days off. We've got a lot of stuff to do, of course, before tomorrow. A lot of stuff coming up on the program. I do want to talk a little bit about road construction. I want to talk about, unfortunately, why we can't have nice things. The shooting at Juneteenth Day. Wonderful celebration, and then it kind of ends in chaos, making national news because of what happened. You know, what is going on there? I admit I am morbidly fascinated in this story of the little submarine, the submersible that was going down to look for the Titanic. Now it has disappeared. I don't know that we have any new news on this, but, you know, the more the time goes by, the more trouble it appears that those people are in. I have to tell you, as somebody who has a healthy respect / fear of water, there is no way in God's green earth that you could get me into a submersible like that to go down and look at the Titanic. We will be discussing that. The governor has signed the bill which gives the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County the authority to put on a sales tax if they decide to do it. There are some limitations on it, though. I want to talk about some of those limitations. We're going to talk about some of the border states that have been busing illegal or people illegally entering this country into like Los Angeles and Chicago and New York, and whether the outrage is legitimate. And you know who's shopping at the dollar store? You might be surprised. All that and a lot more is coming up. The Wagner Show starts right after the top of the hour news.